So we'll go ahead and put our text for this morning's sermon on the screen, and you can be turning there. Believe it or not, we are going to read all of it. It's 31 verses, so. But before we get into the sermon, I just want to thank all of you. Been a challenging week at our house, and you know, most of you know, all of you know, maybe the millions watching on YouTube don't know. I love saying that. It's a dad joke, I know. I'm not only a dad, I'm a granddad. So I'm okay. If my jokes aren't funny to you, they're funny to me. But most of you know that Pam, my wife, had surgery this week, and it was significant. And she's home recovering right now. And very adoringly watching this YouTube right now, watching me. Hey, Pam. And you have been so kind to us and so helpful in so many ways. Yesterday, some of you took up the challenge of helping the snow shovel team. I was tied up a lot of yesterday, and I've really been trying to take care of Pam. And thank you for those of you who shoveled. Also this week, not most of you, because we haven't announced this, but my sister-in-law passed away. My brother, Rick, he's my only sibling, and he means a lot to me. And his wife, Judy, passed away, and she was such a blessing to him. She was good for him. And so I appreciate your prayers for my brother Rick and for all of us. I love this church. And a large part of that is many reasons. But a large part of that is so many of you have learned how to, what I call, lead with love. You start with love. And you live the sermon that I'm about to preach. Hopefully after this sermon you can live it even better, but I don't know how much better at leading with love you can be, because you're so good at it. We are so blessed. And if we are not careful, we will take this church, this spiritual family that we call Northwest, we will take it for granted. It's easy to get caught up in the rhythm of life, you know, all that stuff that happens in our homes, in our neighborhood, on our job, all the stuff that happens. But when we come together here, this is special. And it's easy to let that stuff, that, crowd out this. So value this and don't take it for granted. When you need it, the church is here. When you're in a valley, the church is here. We're not perfect, but we are here. And we just need to know. Because I've experienced this week when I've been hurting, I know the church is here. And I'm not talking about just on Sunday morning. There is so much in the Bible that is so relevant to our daily lives. That's why we encourage you to read it for yourself. Learn it, study it. And just sitting here during these songs that we sang, the scripture reading, oh my goodness, that scripture reading. Oh. And to me, I'm sitting there and it's just, it's all fitting together like a beautiful mosaic. And it's so wonderful. And if you're not careful, you're going to miss that. So let's be committed to one another. Let's keep this going. And it's all from God. And He wants to bless us. He does. We just need to listen to Him. Follow Him. Together. So, I am so sorry. Excuse me just a moment. I actually held that together a lot better than I thought I would, so. I have three questions for you. But you need to listen to them closely, or you may answer them incorrectly. Do you know what is meant by the gift of the Holy Spirit? Or do you know what is meant by the fruit of the Spirit? And third, what do we mean by the gifts of the Spirit, or as we usually say it, spiritual gifts. Now, some who have been a Christian for a long time do not know the difference. And for those who are newer to Christianity, let me say that some of today's sermon might seem strange or odd. So what we're learning today is not how to become a Christian. You become a Christian by recognizing who Jesus really is, according to His words, recognizing He is the Savior who can rescue you from your wrongdoing, committing your life to Him for the rest of your life, and trusting your eternal destiny to Him. What we're learning today is how Christians live in community in a local church. What we're learning today is a result of already being a Christian, not how to become a Christian. So to answer those three questions, excuse me, the gift of the Spirit is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within a person the moment that person becomes a Christian. This is an unbelievable gift to have God with us, within us, guiding us, and walking with us through life moment by moment. When Jesus was talking with His disciples the week before He was crucified, He told His disciples in John chapter 14, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. This gift, this presence of the Holy Spirit is only given to believers. Second question, the fruit of the Spirit is the result of Him dwelling in us and leading us and maturing us. And as we mature in the Holy Spirit, we should bear more and more of that fruit. And what is that fruit of the Spirit? We are told in Galatians 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All Christians are to bear the fruit of the Spirit. The deeper we grow in Christ, the more we will be like Him. And Jesus is the perfect example of the fruit of the Spirit. Third question. Today we will be talking about spiritual gifts. Okay, so remember I asked you, what is the gift of the Spirit? What is the fruit of the Spirit? And now we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Dr. Robert Piccirilli gives us a good definition of the spiritual gifts. He says they are gracious endowments of believers by the Holy Spirit to enable them to perform service for the building of the church. They are abilities, talents, and skills given by the Holy Spirit for the individual Christian to use for the benefit of the local church. If I pronounce her name correctly, Carmen Joy Imes says that we are not to think of spiritual gifts as a birthday gift, a present, or a Christmas gift. And I love this phrase. Listen close. I'll read it twice. Spiritual gifts are grace with flesh on it. Spiritual gifts are grace with flesh on. We are gifts to one another. We are not to think of the spiritual gifts as a special gift just to you, to benefit you, and to lift you up. No. A spiritual gift is a gift from God for the entire church. You do have abilities, talents, and skills before you become a Christian. But even those come from God as a part of common grace. And this sermon is already too long, but common grace, to put it very shortly, is God blessing you even when you're not following Him. Okay? Deuteronomy 8 tells us that you may say to yourself, this is God talking, right? You may say to yourself, My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So if you think you're doing okay on your own without God, from a Christian perspective, you're not really on your own. So, let's work through these verses, starting with verses 1 through 4. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, or that means unbelievers, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so verse 1 tells us that Christians should be knowledgeable about this subject of spiritual gifts, okay? Verse 2 is a reference to how we used to live before we came to faith in Christ. Instead of being influenced and led by the Holy Spirit, we were influenced by the things of this world. That's not word, it's a world. By the thinking of this world. And verse 3 makes it clear that only those who have the Holy Spirit can truly understand to any depth that Jesus is indeed Lord. The indwelling and power of the Holy Spirit is only with believers. Christians believe this so deeply that it literally orders the way we live our lives. Where many people say they believe in Jesus, but then they live their lives their own way. They're not led by the Spirit. So I hope you're seeing something here. Let's read verses 4 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, excuse me, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So these verses are telling us that the spiritual gifts come from God. This should humble us. If I can do something great and awesome for God, that is not something for me to brag about. I should brag on God working in me and through me. It's all Him, not me. And by the way, you see in these first few verses, each person of the Trinity mentioned. The Spirit in verses 3 and in 4. The Lord, or Jesus, in verse 3 and 5. And God, whom we call the Father, is in verse 6. Sometimes in my sermons, I pause to point out theological things to you to help reinforce basic truth of Scripture. One God, three persons. It's a whole other sermon, but if you're wondering, why do Christians believe that? Here's another passage that shows why we believe it. Okay, now verses 7 through 11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that Spirit, one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, you may find some of the things here strange. Here we are. This, by the way, is just a partial list of what we call spiritual gifts. Okay, so these verses. Verse 7 means that to each individual Christian, the Holy Spirit is made known and works in each one. And the purpose is for the common good of the church. There are different gifts, but they all come from the Holy Spirit. Verses 8 through 10 give us a partial list of the gifts of the Spirit. And here's where a lot of Christians get sidetracked. They want a list and a definition of all the spiritual gifts. And they want to know which ones they have. And if we are not careful, we will let that knowledge make us proud. It becomes, hey, look at me. But the purpose of this entire section in 1 Corinthians is to teach that servanthood, harmony, and unity is way more important than whatever spiritual gift you may have. So I'm not going to list and define each of the gifts. If you want to know more about that, contact me this week and I can give you some resources about the gifts. In fact, one of the few things I've written in life was a study guide on the spiritual gifts. I'll email you a copy of it if you want me to. It has a lot of blanks in it, though, so you might want to get with me and we'll go through it together. So let's read verses 12 through 14. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. So here's the main point of these three verses. There are many parts, but one body. All Christians have the same experience of being in Christ. We are in this together, and we are equals. And by the way, here's a passage that teaches prejudice, bias, racism, favoritism, all of that stuff should never be found in the church. It should never be found in the heart of a Christian. Do you understand that in the New Testament church, the Jewish people were so self-focused on their Jewish heritage that it wasn't just one or two other ethnicities that they looked down on. They looked down on all of them. And for Paul to write, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, that would have been stunning to the mind and heart of a Jewish person. They would have been dumbfounded. Wait. So, another theological truth there. Okay, let's read verses 15 through 20. If the foot should say, literally, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, by the way, I have to stop here. I'm so sorry, Sylvia. If the whole body were an eye, there was a piece of artwork downtown. Did any of you see it? Do you know the name of it, Dustin? I don't know what the name of it. Dustin's seen it. I don't know if it's still there. But it's a big eyeball about this tall, a big round eyeball, just sitting on some kind of a little concrete thing right off the sidewalk somewhere downtown. It's an eyeball. I'm sorry. This made me think of that. Verse 17. Let's go through the rest of this passage. If the whole body were an eye, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts but one body. Okay, so let's be clear. There is one body. We're talking about the church, one body. If you are a Christian, you are part of that one body. Okay, but let me pause here and explain. There is what we call the universal church or the invisible church. This is the church around the world throughout all of history that is made up of all true believers and followers of Jesus Christ. The only way, however, that we can see the universal church is through the local church. If you don't believe me, go outside, a little cold, put your coat on. Go outside and look for the church. Go ahead. You won't see it, but when you walk in here, you see a local expression of that universal church. Okay? So if you're a Christian, you're a part of that body. But we're also to be a part of a local church. Okay, back to my notes, Sylvia. Sylvia's translating through the headphones, so just so you know. But no matter which part you are important. And each part does different things, But that does not make one better or worth more than another part. So I love to eat, right? I'm good at holding a fork in my right hand. I'm not as good at it with my left hand. And I absolutely cannot hold a fork with either of my feet. I'm speculating because I've never tried it. Maybe some of you can. But if you can, please don't show me. But that doesn't mean that my feet are unimportant. I've never been able to walk on my hands. Some of you can. But that doesn't, I have to use my feet to walk, right? But that doesn't make my hands unimportant. See, we're all equal. We just have different gifts and different places of service in the local church. And each part is not only important, each part is necessary. You are wanted and needed in a local church. Let's read verses 21 to 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And I have felt verse 26 this week. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Each one of us is interdependent. We need each other to function the way God wants the local church to function. And part of what this passage, these verses are saying is some parts are more visible than others. For different reasons, there are parts of our body that are not visible. It would be rare I'm trying to think of a different direction here. This is what I get for spur-of-the-moment thoughts. So there are parts of our bodies that we clothe, and you understand why. There is the majority of our body is inside of us. You can't even see my heart. But without my heart, I'd have a real problem right now. Right? And I love my stomach. Some people, they eat, and when they get full, they say, oh, I'm so full. And some of you know my response when you say that. That's a great feeling, isn't it? I know Dustin and some of you are really into the superheroes and Marvel and DC and all that stuff. I'm convinced that if I have a superpower, it's my taste buds. In fact, my entire gastrointestinal system. Sorry, Sylvia, that's probably hard to translate. And see why I'm saying this knowing that Pam's watching at home, and when I get home, she's going to say, "Did you say that? Did you really say that?" Okay, verses 27 to 30. Now you are the body of Christ, okay? And in this, the word "you" right there is plural. So here's to help English speakers understand this better. So verse 27 to 30 with a slight addition here, okay? Now all of you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? See, all the gifts are spiritual. No gift is more spiritual than another gifts. Okay? So here again, you have a partial list of some of the gifts of the Spirit. And if you're not familiar with this subject of what the Bible teaches about it, you're like, what is this talking about? Gifts of miracles, of healing, of talking in different tongues or languages. To keep this sermon short, just let me say that next Sunday, Pastor Tommy will be preaching the most important part of this subject of the spiritual gifts. And 2 weeks from today, I'll go into more detail about some of this miracle stuff, okay? So if you're thinking, "I wish he would explain that now," I don't have time right now, but in 2 weeks I will, okay? Okay, let's read verse 31. Oh, verse 31. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. So you want to know what's more important than spiritual gifts? I'll give you a partial answer to that now. But please be here next week when Pastor Tommy will go into detail about what is more important. But if more Christians would follow this biblical principle, the church would be way more effective. So, what I'm about to say is strong. I love you guys. Don't be mad at me. But if you don't get your way in a local church, and you leave the church because you don't get to use the gift you have the way you want and when you want, you are making your gift more important than servanthood, harmony, and unity. And you really don't have as much love as you might think you do. I know that's strong, But listen, we teach this to our kids. You know how we teach it to our kids? When other kids come to play with your kids, and your children won't let the visiting children play with their toys, what do you tell them? Share. Share. Some of you might even say to a three-year-old, stop acting like a three-year-old. Have any of you said that to your kids? I did when mine were little. A time or two. We teach our children, we should, that you don't always get your way. And to be quite honest, we need to know that in the local church. Adults need to live by that same principle. You don't always get your way at work, do you? Unless you own the company. You don't always get your way in the neighborhood. I don't always get my way at my house. I don't get mad and leave over it. And you give unbelievers, if you do that, you give unbelievers a reason to look at the division in the church and say, look at those Christians. They're no better with Christ than we are without him. And that's a shame. And by the way, it's a sin. When we talk about spiritual gifts, it seems like everyone wants to talk about the miracles and the healings and the tongues. You know, the flashy stuff. Listen close. The emphasis of this entire passage is not on the details of the gifts, but the unity and harmony of the body. It is God's desire that you exercise your spiritual gifts in the context of a local church. But the main point of this passage is that the gifts must be practiced with harmony and unity. Let me read that again. The main point of this entire passage is that the gifts must be practiced with harmony and unity. In the beginning of this sermon, I explained the difference between the gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and the gifts, that's G-I-F-T-S, gifts of the Spirit. And I think too often we look at the gifts of the Spirit to decide if someone is spiritual or not. If they're a great speaker, or a great singer or musician, or a great teacher. But the fruit of the Spirit is way more important than the gifts of the Spirit. Character is more important than ability. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit is more important than any ability. Love is more important than any ability. And if you're not sure about that, please make sure you're here next Sunday. As the worship team comes up, we are all in this together as a local church, all of us together. And all of us together with the Holy Spirit, with God Himself, in our midst, and with Christ as our King. So, let's live. Let's serve one another. Be in harmony with one another. Be united. Let's love one another. To please our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh God, please help me and help all of us to not make church about ourselves. Help us all to not focus on ourselves, but to focus on one another. Help us to put others before ourselves. Help us to lead, to start with love. We thank you. We praise you for the spiritual gifts. We are so blessed with some of the best teachers that I've ever known. Those teaching our children, those teaching our teenagers, our adults, we are blessed. We're blessed with musicians, people who sing. But we're also blessed with people who shovel snow, people who make a phone call to check on someone else. So many here who want to, anytime there's a crisis, it's like, what can I cook for you? And I love that. And I praise you for the gift of servanthood in our church. So many people here have it. And they live it. They practice it. I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. But I thank you more for the fruit of the Spirit. Not just to do stuff with the gifts, but to be like Jesus as we grow in bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And I thank you most of all for the presence, the power, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in each Christian. I cannot imagine walking through life when there's a major surgery, when there's a death, when you lose your job, when people turn on you and betray you, financial problems happen. I cannot imagine walking through life without you with me, Lord, without the Holy Spirit within me. And I cannot imagine walking through life without this local church. Oh my God, you have blessed us so much. Help us to not take it for granted. Help us to live our lives as individuals to glorify you, yes. But help us to live our lives together as a local church to glorify you even more. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.